You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. Isaka will celebrate its 50th anniversary in 2019. In our 50th anniversary series podcast, we are visiting with industry leaders to discuss the major trends that have shaped the past 50 years and that will impact the future for our professional community. Today we are speaking with Jeff Bernstein, President at the Association for Advancing Automation. Thank you for joining us, Jeff. To begin, you have touted the ability of automation to create new and better jobs. In which industries are you seeing examples playing out that you consider to be especially promising?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Looking forward to our discussion. In terms of where jobs are being created because of robots, I mean, we're seeing companies like General Motors. Over the past 5 years or so, they've implemented about 10,000 new robots, and during that time, they created something like 25,000 new jobs. We're seeing similar trends in warehousing companies like Amazon, for instance, where they're hiring all kinds of people because of the great demand for products via Amazon, but they're also automating and implementing robots at a record pace as well. But I think this would be true of just about every industry. Automation is saving and creating jobs.
There is quite a bit of anxiety, though, among some in the tech workforce and in other sectors as well, about automation displacing current workers from their jobs, essentially rendering their skill sets obsolete. To what extent are these concerns justified? And what should today's workers be doing to best equip themselves for changes driven by automation?
We think the biggest threat to jobs is the inability for companies to compete. Because if you can't compete, there are no jobs. And so what we're seeing is counterintuitive. If we look at a 20-year period, if you compare robot sales versus unemployment in the United States, you see that every time that robot sales go up, unemployment goes down. And when robot sales go down, unemployment goes up. So that's not acting like a job killer, quite the opposite. Now, the reality is, technology has been changing the nature of jobs forever, and jobs change. I mean, at one point in America, we had something like 70% of the people working on farms, and now it's down to about 3%. We had people who were horse and buggy drivers. We had elevator operators, and these jobs have changed due to technology. We always hear these concerns. This is nothing new either. We've been hearing about technological unemployment. John Maynard Keynes talked about that in the 30s. John F. Kennedy warned about technology in the 60s. Even President Obama, when he left office, talked about the threat of automation on jobs. But we're not seeing that. We're during this period of record automating right now in the U.S., unemployment is down below 4%. The real issue is, what are the types of jobs and what are the skill sets? What we see is a skills gap that many of the companies in our association, and we have over 1,100 member companies now, tell us that their number one problem is finding qualified workers for the jobs they have open today. We're not even talking about the future. And what we're talking about there is people with the ability to program and set up and install and maintain robots and other automated machines. And we need to make sure that we're training people for those jobs, retraining current employees for those jobs. And if we don't do that, we're going to have a huge shortage just in manufacturing alone, where they estimate there could be, in the next few years, as many as 2 million unfilled jobs because of this skills gap.
What are the biggest impediments that are preventing more enterprises from making use of automation?
We see that there are still so many companies in the U.S., small and medium-sized companies in particular, who are just now beginning to look at automation and robotics. And for a long time, they felt, well, this is a costly and complex technology that only big companies could implement. But that view is changing. And as we reach more and more companies with the message that, look, the technology is easier to use, it's less costly than you think, and it's providing quicker paybacks, we're changing minds there about the use of automation. Plus, there's been some advances in the technology. So for many years, you know, robots had to be safeguarded and kept away from people. But with the new collaborative robots that are on the market now, you can have people and robots working side by side. And that is a big breakthrough, and it's gotten the attention of a lot of small companies to get them excited about, well, maybe I don't need so much floor space. Maybe I don't need to invest so heavily in other equipment beyond the robot, you know, safeguarding equipment. Maybe I can have the robots up and running quicker than I thought because I don't necessarily have the internal resources necessary to handle complex automation tasks. So we're overcoming some of the impediments that existed for a long time.
What are some of the major security considerations that organizations need to take into account when deploying robotics?
Well, I mean, the first issue has to do with robot safety. So whether you're implementing a traditional robot or one of the new so-called collaborative robots, you have to make sure that the people are safe. You have to do a risk assessment to make sure that, you know, if the robot is working side by side with a person with no fence around it, it might be okay if it hits the person and doesn't hurt them, but what if it's carrying a sharp object? You know, what if it has an object that, you know, has contaminated blood in it? You know, so you have to do a risk assessment to make sure. So safety is the biggest security consideration. But beyond that, as we go more to the industrial Internet of Things and Industry 4.0, like any other element in a system, you have to make sure that the data is secure and that somebody can't hack into it and take control of the robot. And so these are issues related to cybersecurity that our industry has been thinking about and talking about.
What lessons can other countries learn from the way that China has deployed robotics over the past several years?
Well, China is a really interesting case. For many years, the U.S. and other countries were outsourcing jobs to China to take advantage of low-cost labor. Now, in China, it's true that the cost of labor has gone up, but I think the main driver for China's rapid decision to invest in robotics and automation is that they want to hold on to the manufacturing that they won over the past two decades or so. And they understand that in order to compete, you need to have the best quality, the highest productivity. You have to be able to get the products that customers want to them as fast as possible. And robots and automation helps you do that. So the Chinese set in place their Made in China 2025 program that has funded the development of robotics and that has allowed them to leapfrog other countries in terms of robot use. They're now not only the fastest growing robot user on the planet, but they have more installed industrial robots than anybody else, and they have a target to go way beyond where they are now. This has got the attention of Japan and Korea and the UK, and they're all implementing programs to try and have a national strategy to use automation in order to be a stronger global competitor. So I think everybody is learning from what the Chinese are doing. The United States, you know, was actually one of the first to have a national program with the National Robotics Initiative during the Obama administration, but it's not funded to anywhere near the level, nor is it anywhere near as comprehensive as what the Chinese are doing.
What are some trends in IoT deployment that you see as having the greatest impact on the tech workforce in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing now and that we think is going to continue having an impact is the development of sensors that allow robots to alert their owners that they're about to break down. So this area of predictive maintenance, you can save a lot of money for companies if you can alert them to the fact that a robot or any other machine is going to break down before it happens. Because when it breaks down and the line has to go down because of that, there's a huge loss of time and money. So I think that this predictive maintenance area is a big one. I also see this machine learning as a way for robots to teach themselves how to do a task and then possibly via the cloud teach other robots what they've learned. And I think that all ties into IoT, and I think we're going to see more and more of that over the next few years where robots are learning and teaching other robots so that you don't have to, you know, program a robot every time they do a task. It can learn from the experience of other robots.
Is there an example or two that you'd point to? It could be a recent one or even going a little farther back of how automation is really making a positive impact on society beyond the workforce considerations?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of discussions of the dangers of AI and robotics. Every day we're hearing about how these technologies can destroy the world. Putin said, whoever controls AI controls the world. There's concerns about military applications of robotics. And my feeling is that if we focus on our fears, we're going to miss out on the opportunities. I mean, just look at healthcare. And this affects all of us as a society that's aging. It certainly affects me. What if AI can help doctors find cures for cancers that we couldn't have cured before, or, you know, treatments for other diseases that will allow us to live longer and better lives? Well, that's what's happening. Programs like IBM Watson are assisting doctors in doing just that. Isn't that a great thing for society? Another example is there's a lot of concerns, and rightly so, over these recent accidents involving driverless cars. And we ought to be sure before we put driverless cars on the road that we've, you know, addressed to the extent that we can the safety issues. But, you know, the main thrust of what we're doing with driverless cars is to prevent accidents. And so, you know, we lose over 35,000 people a year in car accidents in the U.S. alone. Well, what if we could reduce that by 90 or 95% even? Wouldn't that be a great thing for us? Think about all the lives that would be saved, all the jobs that would be created. I mean, I just think if we only focus on the fears of accidents, we're going to miss out on the opportunity of saving lives.
What is your sense of some of the major trends that will continue to shape automation as the field evolves in, say, the next 10 to 20 years, or whatever time frame you want to put around it?
Joe Engelberger once told me, he was the founder of the industrial robot, he once told me, if you're going to make predictions, try and make them, you know, far enough into the future so you won't be alive to see if they actually come true. So I'm going to go beyond 10 years. I mean, I think if you look at where we're headed with robotics, we're headed into places well beyond the factory. So right now, you know, we're in factories, we're in warehouses, we're starting to get into retail environments. One of the frontiers that we haven't really penetrated is the home. So while we have robot vacuum cleaners, that's about it in terms of a useful robot in our home. We're making advances, you know, with Siri and Alexa, where we can communicate with objects that are going to, you know, help us when we have robots in the home. But what we really want to have is multifunctional robots or single-purpose robots in our home that can help us do things that we don't want to do. And that might be cleaning up the house, or it might be cooking, or really an important area is elder care. How can we, especially if we're of sound mind, stay in our homes longer? Maybe the robot can lend an arm so we can stand and get into bed and do all these things that we might have to otherwise go into a nursing home or some other assisted living facility for. So this is, to me, going to be the big breakthrough in the future of robots that can help us as we grow older. Now, some countries are working harder on that right now than others. I know Japan and Korea are really interested in that. And I hope to see, you know, advances in this area within several decades in the United States and around the world, so that, again, these technologies can be put to use to help us live longer and better lives.
To wrap up, and thanks for being with us today, Jeff, I want to go back to the workforce questions with automation. What are the biggest misconceptions that are out there?
There's so many studies that come out talking about how robots are taking away jobs. Sometimes the studies themselves are covered in a way that's misleading, and I'll give you an example of that. One of the studies that came out last year was from McKinsey and Company, and the headlines talked about 400 million jobs being lost globally or 800 million jobs being lost. But when you talk to the authors of the study, they say that's not really what their study's about. In fact, in the worst scenarios, there could be 890 million new jobs created for a net gain of 90 million jobs globally. This isn't often reported. And I think that if you look at the jobs issue, we're not really good at predicting what the jobs will be in the future. I ask people when I talk about this, 20 years ago, how many of you would have said that we would have good high-paying jobs today called search engine optimization specialist, or digital marketing manager, or app developer for iPhone. And that last one's kind of a trick, of course, because the iPhone wasn't invented 20 years ago. It was invented 10 years ago. But we have all these jobs that we couldn't have named. We're really good at creating new jobs. We've done this forever. Innovation has helped us do this. New technologies come, computers, robotics, artificial intelligence. They make our lives better, and they allow us to have jobs that are better, that allow us to use our brains and not our brawn. Some of these technologies are allowing us to not have to be exposed to dangerous environments or, you know, lift heavy objects. They're helping us in many ways in our lives. And so I think we ought to look at this as an opportunity. Again, focus on the opportunities, not the fears. Take advantage of robotics and AI and all the rest, and we'll see what we've seen forever in the United States, which is a dynamic innovation economy that creates new and better jobs every time period.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more on ISACA's 50th anniversary, visit isaca50.org.